Welcome to the Digital Marketing Insights Podcast, brought to you by Brightside Digital.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm delighted to say today we have Elizabeth with us, who is an innovation manager. Elizabeth, how are you doing? Can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, please?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me. I'm fine. Thank you. Well, about innovation management. Yes. Well, I define myself an innovation manager, and actually I'm also a certified one, which is a mixture of project management and change management and transformation management. The variations between the three are minima, in the sense that when you work with innovation, you have to plan business models in a different way, restructure the processes within the company in a different way. And most of the people, when they listen to the title innovation manager, they think that what I'm doing is just applying some new technology within the processes of the company. Whereas innovation requires also a different mindset, analysis of the situation in which the company is, and implies a change in behavior. Behavior can be manufacturing behavior or can be people behavior. And when I'm talking about people behavior, I'm not talking about specifically people behavior in itself, but how the organization behaves in the everyday operations. I don't know if it is more clear or you have any specific question that could help listeners to better understand what innovation management is.
I think there's so many good points there you've made already. But so can you talk about your strength and how you see you pulling that all together? Like, why should people reach out to you and approach you for this?
Well, generally speaking, I'd say that they should approach me whenever they feel the need to address something related to what they want to change within their organization. Because when you are whether you want to introduce innovation as innovation in itself, management system, or automation in production processes, you have to map the project and establish an action plan. But sometimes, well, let me say, quite often, the vision is a little bit blurred. So you need to unclutter that vision in order to start defining these various strategic areas you want to start work with and how you are planning to tackle them. To do this and doing it from within the company, I'm not saying it is impossible to do it with internal personnel or experts, but what is probably missing in that picture is the external outlook and the contamination of various fields and experiences of a professional which does innovation management for a living, which is a great help to bring sort of fresh ideas, or I'd rather say fresh perspective, within an organization that is facing a time of change or innovation introduction. Because, you know, when you want to introduce innovation in a company, you also need to face some sort of a friction of the organization in itself, because it is not designed to host that specific kind of innovation yet. and from the people as well. So on both ways, you need to work a lot in communicating and transparency. Going back to my first point, which is the vision needs to be clear. So it's not just, you know, going to the supermarket, buying something new and put it in on the shelf in your office. There are very many aspects that need to be taken into consideration when you introduce innovation, hence change within your company. Does it make sense?
Can you give me an example of, yeah, completely. I like that. It nicely leads on to my next question, which is, can you give me an example of a project that you were part of that you made really successful and really proud of to date?
Well, it's a quite recent project, actually. It's a project I have run last year with a company. This company wanted to go more digital, and they didn't have specifically neither the department within the company to deal with that, nor virtually the people to do that. But we know we're living in an era where you have to start reskilling your people. And I was pretty sure that amongst the people they were employing, there were those skills, besides some of them, were there. So we started the project mapping people, mapping the organization, and how that specific department could have fit within the organization. Before that, we had to define with the stakeholders what their expectations and goals were specifically, and put them down to be clear all along the duration of the project. So after that, we started interviewing people in order to try to find and gather those skills. But we hit probably a very rough patch, and the company was facing a time of inexplicable identity loss. And many people were quitting. So even when the team was sort of formed, we were ready to start up that particular team, people were quitting. So we had to restart back. At the end of the day, anyway, at the end of the project, we managed both to keep the timeline. And secondly, mostly important, if you ask me, to retain a very valuable team that was able to implement the plan, prepare the strategic plan for the following year, which is 2024, and start acting upon it. If you ask me, the key to that job has been working on values of people. What really did it was to put together people who were sharing the same values. Totally different skills, totally different backgrounds, totally different ideas and way of working. But because of their shared values, and of course the support of the company that has backed me all the time in all the proposals that I've made to reskill them, to bring some fresh air into the processes, to try something new, even sometimes borderline compared to the way they were used to, that has been really, really the key to success of the project. And I'm really happy because, I'm not happy because of the we managed to keep the timeline, the deliverables and everything. But I'm happy. I'm particularly happy and proud of that project because the team that I've put together is happy to work on that. He's still happy. And they are still very engaged and happy.
Yeah, love it. And do you provide training in this process as well? Are you part of the process of training up the missing skill sets of these teams? Is that part of your work?
Yeah, well, in some areas, yes, I do. Some other areas which are not covered by my expertise, of course, I go outsourcing. And specifically when it is about team building and if I'm leading the project, I try not to get involved into it. And I try to delegate it to some third parties because it helps keeping the external point of view. And they, how to explain, the people involved are probably feeling less somehow, less overlooked. Because whether you like it or not, even if you are a project leader in a lean or agile organization where maybe titles and everything is, they're not working in silos. So they don't perceive the pyramid effect, you know? Even if that's the case, you are always the project leader anyway. And they want to feel they have some sort of a safe environment where they can express their feelings, concerns, mistakes, maybe. So they need first to be sure and feel safe of saying it into an environment which is perceived as external, detached. And when they get confident with the practice, then they will feel free to come to you and do the same with you.
Love it. Love it. And is there any particular softwares you use that you swear by to assist with your work? How do you like manage these teams or create diagrams? Like, what do you use to operate daily?
Well, a little bit of everything, because you know, working as the way I work is probably many of the listeners are already familiar with. I work as an interim manager, specialized in innovation management. Interim management means that you have a particular time frame within you need to sort of complete your project. It doesn't mean that it cannot be extended, but still, there is a time frame, there is a project, and that is what you do within that time frame. So unless the project involves specifically integrating softwares or other management systems, I try to be very flexible and resilient and adapt to the software the company has, unless it is awful or useless for what they have to do, and possibly integrate new softwares into the processes. Like when I deal with marketing, I'm particularly keen in HubSpot, if we can say it. But is very flexible, and most of the times also I'm working. Well, I'd say that 90% of my life I've spent working in manufacturing companies, and manufacturing companies also need service, and that software is good for managing service as well, and across several continents as well, without the borders of the time zones, you know. So you can pick up a ticket from the United States when you have launched it the night before, and you basically save time in the meantime. And then of course there are the usual Monday and Trello for managing teams and projects and charts and tasks. Those are probably very easy and intuitive, but since they are clashing with the mindset of many people not trained to work in projects, they are the most difficult to be infused somehow within the organization. But still, they are sort of mandatory. So in a way or another, that's what I tend to use.
Yeah, brilliant. And then Is there anywhere where you go to learn new insights and information? I'm guessing your work, especially when you come in as an interim manager, there's so many things you have to stay up to date with, different systems and processes and stuff. Is there anywhere where you go to get new information?
The answer is yes and no, in the sense that yes, you are right. I always need to be up to date. And of course, this world space is also very fast and very variable these days. So I believe you have to be up to date all the time. Also because everything changes as well. I mean, new technologies, new geopolitical situations that are forcing you having to deal with operations to know what's going on out there, whether it is technology or whether it is simply weather. I don't know. I try not to get fixated on one point of information because I'm a very curious and sort of a generalist person. And sort of a hobby of mine is also to pick up stuff from everywhere, like trying to read the signals in whatever passes under my nose. So I try to be curious and to transpose what I see in one space into something that I'm doing already, or to broaden my view and try to expose it to a wider canvas. So the answer is no, I don't have a specific place where I go get information because I try to pick from everywhere. And I value very, very much networking and discussing with peers.
Brilliant. And is there anything in the digital industry as a whole that really excites you that you recommend to clients at the moment? Anything that you're really looking into?
I'm probably going to say something very, very popular at the minute, which is AI. I'm not sure where we will be going with AI. I'm sure I define it a bubble, but not in the specific term that is typically used to define to conceive a bubble. The bubble is this sort of a new world populated by AI, which is not defined and is yet to be built in a definite way. Probably, I don't know, because of its essence, it is not going to be built in any specific way, not today and not in 20 years from now. What I'm sure of is that this bubble that we are all looking at the moment is going to burst, not in the sense that it is going to disappear, but it's going to burst in the sense that everybody will have to deal with it in different measures, but still we will have to do to deal with it daily. So I'm not saying that all of us have to become experts or geeks in all the things AI, but I'm saying that even a little bit of general knowledge on what it is, how it works, and what are the current risks of AI in order to develop consciousness is fundamental.
And is there any part of AI or AI software that you're playing around with at the moment to aid your work and knowledge? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I'm taking a course on machine learning at the moment, just to dig a little bit deeper into it. I'm not experienced enough to elaborate about it. I'm pretty sure that from graphics and stuff like that, there's a lot to learn. I am very skeptical about uses of AI in order to do virtual assistants or stuff. I believe that aspect is really, really behind. But like, I don't know, using ChatGPT is, I find it enlightening somehow. Because sometimes I have fun in writing something with my words and ask ChatGPT in, tell me how would you say this thing in your words? And you can see a totally different perspective. You can learn, actually, from what ChatGPT is answering you.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about it. I'm actually using, like, I've dabbled in a couple of different areas of AI. The one that I think is working really well is Intercom. I'm using that AI chatbot, their service, where I'm loading in inquiries that are coming into businesses, simple form inquiries, and creating a backlog database, answering that via AI. And then if someone's come onto the site and their inquiry is different to what's been in the database, they'll obviously get into a member of staff or live chat. But what I've found and what the data of that has been hugely beneficial, because it's actually freeing up customer service time for more phone calls or different inquiries. It's answering, for example, if someone loses their passwords, now it just goes to the reset password section and brings it up. And it frees up so much time for staff coming through, just resetting someone's password credentials. So I'm really trying to push myself. I use it a lot for development. So if I get stuck, previously I had to ask dev friends how to code something up. But now I my first point of call is like an open AI, depending on the case. And I've already read, I think GitHub is already over 50% AI code now, which is ridiculous considering that's such a big source of open coding. And I'm a huge fan of it. I'm a huge advocate for it. Anything that can free up people's time and get focused on maybe the higher thinking or more creative or pushing a business forwards. I'm a huge fan of it. But yeah, like, definitely something to go to work on. And everyone, I'm sure, listens to this show has dabbled in it in some form. So it's it's no surprise to anyone on this show. Lastly, to try and understand you a little bit more, my question I always end the show with is, if you could bottle up one personality trait that you have yourself that you could pass on to others, what would it be?
Well, I'd say openness. I believe openness in this era is the watchword. Because it's a blend of communication, transparency, global outlook, diversity, working across the board, and everything. So I'd definitely say openness.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, that's it, Elizabeth. Beta, thanks so much for being on the show. Honestly, absolute pleasure. If anyone wants to reach out to you, how can they find you? How can they see what you're up to?
Well, I'd say primary point of contact could be LinkedIn. They just have to search for Elisabetta WT Battistella WTWF and they'll find me.
Love it. Elizabeth, thanks so much for doing the show. Thanks everyone for watching, listening. For now.